Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, Immanent Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that's going to have all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to take that home with you. And also our song, which I think is new, is in there for our community sing. So you may want to look at that. If you misplace your insert, you can always check the website, consciousharmony.org, for that and for sermons and for so much more. Our community read of The Yoga of Eating is now in the bookstore. We're going to be having a half-day centering prayer retreat on Saturday, November 11th, and that's going to be from 12:30 till 5. So, mark your calendars. There's no need to pre-register for that. There is a $10 love offering. We're also taking reservations for the 5-day centering prayer retreat held at Cedar Break in Belton, January 19th through the 23rd. And you can check with the office for more details on that. Our annual Christmas program, The Glorious Impossible, will be held Thursday, December 14th at 7 p.m. And you are it. So we are looking for people to participate on and off stage. And it says no experience is necessary. So for me and for many of us, that's really the beginning of my Christmas. Is that night when my heart gets touched by that very simple story by Madeleine Lalang on the Christmas story. It is so beautiful and simple and humble and just a wonderful way to begin the Christmas season. There's only going to be 5 rehearsals, so which is good news during the busy holiday season, and it is a glorious way to serve and be served, to grow. We ask you to sign up after the service at a table on the other side of the bridge. And the rehearsals begin next Sunday at 1, the 5th of November. We're signing up teachers and volunteers for Godly Play. And so if you are a teacher and you know when you're going to be out of town, just let Jackie know today after the service when you're going to be out of town so she can make up the schedules. We also are in need of baby whisperers and greeters. And greeters actually are the ones who greet the children and the parents as they come in. And for that position, you can come right into the sanctuary. Anyway, if you feel called to participate in this amazing program that God has given us for our children, stop by and Jackie will be at a table after the service. As part of our ministry, the Church of Conscious Harmony collects non-perishable food items to be donated to Caritas. And so we ask you to remember that. It's really hard, but maybe a finger, thread around the finger. Bring a sack of groceries or a couple of cans of something. And just as we're doing this, we remember that we are not serving the poor, but we are really serving Christ in that disguise. So be generous. The donations will, there will be a table, a collection table on the side of the kitchen. Next week, do not forget, to set your clocks back. That's an easy one to remember because you're going to get an extra hour of sleep that you've been missing since last spring. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. We're glad you're here. There'll be somebody on the other side of the bridge at a table to talk with you, to give you something to take home and read, and to perhaps begin a dialogue with us. And this is a very special day, so we're going to ask you to prayerfully join as it is New Member Sunday, and we'll be inducting our new members into the church. Tim.
It was about 32 years ago, I think, that I sat at my word processor and asked God to help me express what it would mean, what the kind of church I would want to be a part of. And these are the words that came, and I think they're evidence of the way God answers our hungers and our prayers. The fulfillment of the Christian way calls on us to enter into an active love relationship with God and our fellow man. Our community is a place where those who feel this call may choose to enter into a supportive learning environment with others like themselves. Membership in the Church of Conscious Harmony is a declaration of intentional relationship to the divine mystery that is God, and to his creation, our brother man. It is a formal expression of a personal hunger to practice and grow deeper in this relationship and to live a little deeper each day. Membership makes few outer demands on us. It simply calls us to relationship. The demands, therefore, are all personal and interior, and for that reason they are difficult. No visible rules require us to perform to any outer standard. Members create the kind of community they want to be a part of, as each shares his or her portion of sincerity, devotion, goodwill, prayer, service, time, effort, attention, financial support, and affection. The overall quality of the community is the sum of what each member adds to it. It is the intentional creation of its living parts whose combined attention shapes its character and spirit. Bernadette said that the people who come here are all what she called proficients. I love it when about one mind in two places. And a proficient is somebody who's already on the way. They've taken the training wheels off the bike and they're ready to get serious with their spiritual journey, and they want to commune with people who likewise are serious because the cultural support is virtually essential. I tried it as a yogi in a cave and it didn't work very well. Well, it worked some, but you know, you need people. And what we've had the privilege of sharing here over these years is the company of people who are really serious about the spiritual journey. I heard the other day that in the Bhagavad Gita, it said that out of 1,000 people, one is serious about this. And out of 1,000 serious people, one is really serious. So this isn't usual. The opportunity is here, and the call is here. And like we said here, it's difficult because nobody can see us. And we like to be seen, and we like to be able to be measured. I'm here, you're here. But inside, there's only us and God. There's only us and the love we share with the community around us. And for that reason, it is difficult, because we have to be alert to our interiority. We have to be alert to our interior experience and realize that the consciousness that we live in is our environment. We don't live in the world. We live in our consciousness about the world. And so the co-creation that has happened here in response to God's offer, ask what you will, and I'll do it for you. The co-creation that has gathered here is a significant group of people that matters a lot. And you matter to each other, we matter to God, and we matter to Christianity. So this morning, as we welcome new members, let us reaffirm that what we are joining is a church, but what we are giving our lives to is God. The church is a focusing agent. It is not an end in itself. It is a means. And as such, it's not something that you do or have. It's something you participate in. And so as we welcome this group of new members into our church fellowship today, let's be aware that these people are signifying their intention to go deeper into God. And as we welcome each person, let us hold them in prayer that the deepest longings in their hearts be fulfilled in their lives, as glory to the Father who made it possible, as a gift to the world around us, and as satisfaction, peace, and the uncaused joy of God in each of their hearts. So as we welcome each member, we will hand them a rose and we will offer a blessing. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. Now that's a blessing I was initiated with, and that's been passed down for thousands of years. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. A simple prayer, but full of meaning and depth. So as we say each with each rose that we pass out and each hand that we offer, may the rose of Christ bloom in your heart, please join us and wish this together. You can see the power of a wish gathered here in this room. So if we wish with and for each of these people that their lives go deeper, we will have done our part for blessing the world today. So I'm going to read the names of the new members, and then we'll ask them to come forward by one by one. Lee Albright, Scott Bauer, Carrie Borland, Phyllis Burke, Todd Buchanan, Cynthia Dela Cruz, Maria Fisher, Tom Harvey, Tamara Iyer, Richard Johnson, Tracy Lee, Mary Leah McNally, Britt Paslowski, Connie Randolph, Lauren Stell, and Gina Tippett. So let's prayerfully engage the moment as we welcome new friends. Why are you looking at me like that? Let's start coming forward. Tom, why don't you come first? Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony, Tom. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. Bless you, brother. Cynthia?
God is blessing you.
Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. All my heart, I pray that the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. God bless you, Cynthia. Phyllis, welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. I pray with all my heart that the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. God bless you. Lee, what a blessing it is to welcome you, knowing that in a week we'll be wearying you here. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart, Lee. Well, Jenna, 2 weeks in a row we're going to be in God's love like this. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. God bless you, my friend. Lauren, I feel like we're redeeming your whole family line. You're the this morning. I'm touched, deeply touched. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. Look. Thank you, Bob. Tracy, I have so quickly said yes after 16 years. I said it with everything in me. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. Thank you for all you've given me. Tamara, it didn't take long, did it?
What's
happening? May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. And may all the hungers for God that you had when you went to school bloom, flourish, overflow. Carrie, what a blessing it is to share this with you. I pray with all my heart. May the rose of Christ bloom in your heart. The song Susan was playing is, I behold the Christ in you. I behold the Christ in all of you. I behold the Christ in all of us gathered here today. Behold the Christ. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. Do your practice. Yes, Marianne. reception for new members after the service. In the fellowship hall, be there or be square. You know, this is the last time that Barb and I will welcome new members into our community. And it's been such a blessing to do that over the years and to see the depth of the community increasing progressively as the years have gone by and as the spirit of what we're sharing catches on. As we realize that for ourselves individually, the responsibility for our relationship with God is with us. And we're not doing God favors, we're getting it. That participation is a choice we make. And that choice has far-reaching implications. But it's a choice and a responsibility and a possibility that is rarely offered. As I said, the Gita talks about 1 in 1,000 and 1 in 1,000 of those. It's 1 in 1,000,000. What if each of us chose to be that 1 in 1,000,000 who made daily practice the focus of life, where God was present as an experience twice a day, every day, where the food of study of Scripture and the commentaries was the ordinary fare of every single day? You'd have to wear shades to come into this place. So in keeping with this idea of lasts, I decided, as Barb was talking about the glorious impossible, that I would ask you for a Christmas present. A little early, I know. The glorious impossible does things to my heartstrings that I like having done. And I don't quite know how it happens, because every year I think I'm jaded and, you know, it's a glorious impossible again. And at some point I go, oh, and I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of it, of the beauty of it, and the extraordinary nature of it. Barb was speaking last week about the ashram we used to go to up in the Himalayas. They put on the Christmas pageant there every year. There weren't even any roads to this place. You had to come there through the river and by paths through the jungle. Every year they had a Christmas pageant. So I want to ask you this year for me to be able to sit in that front row and see a fully subscribed cast and a fully subscribed support system that puts on the most glorious, glorious impossible we've ever had yet. Now, they've been getting better by the year. I have no complaints at all. But, you know, like a good coach with a stopwatch, I know there's another tenth in there. It also occurred to me, you know, today's text, and maybe I'll tell the text at the end and ask you again, for participation. It seems in the last few weeks that more and more people have been coming in just to say hi, to stay connected. It's not a counseling problem. It's just an opportunity to say hi, to connect, and to celebrate together what has gone on in the lives of these individuals since we've come to know each other and since we've come to be parts of the same community. And Barb and I have been marveling at those stories. And I thought this morning that it would be good if some of us shared, well, what's happened to you since you've come here? Has this place done you good? What? So that the whole group could hear what Barb and I are getting to hear privately. Now, if that's cool with you, please raise your hand. If not, I'll start calling on people. Yes, please, Cynthia. Here's the tricky part. We need to stand up.
Okay. Well, I started meditating in my late 20s and studied Kriya Yoga, which is a form of meditation, and walked away from that path for a long time and found myself coming back to my spiritual path through this school. The difference was then we were taught at the Kriya Yoga school that I went to unconditional love, being non-judgmental, being impersonal or no self. It's somewhat of an equivalent. forgiveness. And the difference is this church gives you the tools to actually manifest that in your life. And I was asking for that so deeply, even though I'd walked away, a part of me still needed that part, and that's where the real transformation has taken place since I've been here, is having the tools that are offered here. And I call this place a school as well as a church.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah. It's really a hospital. Yes, please, Tamara, and then Rebecca.
This month, it's been 9 years since I first came here. And I just want to say how life-changing it is. And it's not the way I would ever really think about circumstances, but as my heart has opened and the transformation has happened internally, my whole life has transformed. And I'm really grateful.
Yeah. Now, you went to seminary.
Yeah.
Did you go there with hungers in your heart?
Yes, big time. I thought the better I understood the Bible, the closer I would be to God. I was sure of that. Guess what? I think that's what maybe the work we'd call the intellectual way of trying to do it. And it's possible, but the heart, and I think the fourth way that's taught here, all three centers, and letting the internal transformation, while I'm still in the world, I still have kids, my husband, I'm working, all that, still teaching yoga, all that, but it's different. And whether how much of it's me and my perception and how much of it's really, who knows, but it's beautiful.
I'll take beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Rebecca, please.
When I first moved to Austin, I was looking for a church, and I grew up with a strong Lutheran heritage of a great-grandfather, grandfather, and a father who are all Lutheran ministers. And so as a small child, always had this opportunity to feel very, very close to God, but was looking for something deeper, and so appreciate the truth that comes from multiple religions and love exploring things from different angles and was just searching. And so when I found the Church of Conscious Harmony, I just, like I'm sure many of you, came in the door and just felt like I've found a home for my soul. And so grateful to the openness and the willingness of looking at all the different perspectives and pulling from the richness and truths of different religions. And what I appreciated so profoundly was the authenticity that I felt in the community when I would look around and see how people were relating to each other and relating the sincerity of everyone's personal journey to find God was just exactly what I was looking for. And the retreats, the opportunity to be in silence, the container that this place provides for deep, deep, profound dismantling of the false self so we can be more true expression of who God created us to be is the greatest blessings in my life. And I'm so grateful for this community and for you and Barbara and everyone else, Donald, everyone who's just committed their lives to this place and created it to be what it is. It is a profound gift for my children to be able to raise them in this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you, thank you, thank you. I could go on forever.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Don. Way in the back.
This is why I came here. I heard that there was a place where you could share. You didn't have to just listen and leave and have to make sense of it by yourself, but you could stand up and ask questions. And my very first Sunday here, my wife at the time, it was Easter Sunday, and we got there late with our kids and got them into the situation and got in and sat down on the floor at the back of Steck, and there was this bald guy sitting up in the front reading. And then he finished and he said, does anybody have anything they'd like to say? He'd read, I think, from Matthew, the Easter story. And my wife at the time stood up and I said, we're going to find out right now. This is our church. And she said, I don't get it. There's this guy, he walks around, they kill him, they put him in a tomb, he gets out, he starts walking around again. That's impossible. But people believe this. Why don't I believe it? And three words came forth through you. 23 years later, I'm standing here with a microphone. He said, Tim said, good for you. You're asking all the right questions. Keep asking the questions and see what happens. And the mystery is what's happened for this one. The ability to let go of my tightly formed life that I thought I was in control of, and through the prayer, allow the incredible force of life to create a masterpiece of love. And I get to bring these young people in today to hear these new members get brought into the church. And I remember my first time too. And it's just full on gratitude.
Yeah, why don't we... I can't see who the young person is. Is it Corva?
Hi, I just young person. Wanted to, huh?
Younger person.
I just wanted to say thank you for Tim and Barbara and Donald and Don and Deborah for letting all of us be able to, at a young age, learn about things that not many people our age get to. And I'm shaking. Ooh, I'm so sorry. And it's amazing. I've been coming here for 10 years, and it just is so heartfelt and warming to be able to have a family, a second family, and be able to have so much love go around and be open. And I love you, Tim. And you've known me since I was that big.
Yeah. You know, and I love you, Corva. And one of the blessings of the gift of this community is that the young people and the pastors are people together. We're human beings and God together. And that means instead of being caught in a role where I'm this whatever it is, I get to be pals with a lot of people. And Corva's been one of my spiritual friends, as she said, since she was about this big. Yeah, go ahead, Tana.
Never done this before, but felt compelled to just share that when my daughter was born, I started to learn from Big Helen that my daughter had chosen to come into my life. And I now believe that my mom, who passed when I was six, sent Helen, who my daughter is named after my mom, and all of you have, you know, shared the blessing that Helen is. And so not only do I have her to learn from and to learn love and what being a daughter is like and then what being a mom is like. And I have my other Helen, who's Mary. She's my mother, Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, your other Helen and I have been hanging out in God for 35 years now. Go ahead, Marilea.
When you were talking about Glorious Impossible earlier, I was reminded of a wonderful memory. It would have been 5 years ago when Kay, our daughter, was 16, yeah. And she was invited to be Mary in the Glorious Impossible. And so I signed up too, wanting to be part of that experience with her, and I was chosen to be one of the angels. And for those of us who have seen The Glorious Impossible, we know that there's this wonderful scene where it's the conception scene, and Mary is on her knees, and the angels are beautifully just moving around her in just this beautiful, ethereal way of knowing that something was happening in that moment. And as Kay was kneeling there, looking up at me, and I was an angel, I couldn't bear the joy of just seeing that young woman looking up at her own earthly mother and knowing that the Divine Mother was working through her and through me. And I couldn't even, you know, conceive of what was happening.
To use the phrase.
And to further the phrase, to know what would be birthed, you know. But I wanted to say that one of the blessings of the many umpteen blessings that have come to us and our family from this church is the blessing of planting that seed in Kay and watching her take it into the world. So she is now working with the Jesuits in Argentina.
Yes.
And that 21-year-old girl is taking the light of Christ that was, you know, born in her when she was so young and nurtured by this community, by going to Lama 4 times, by meeting with Father Thomas 2, that love nurtured in her and now spreading into the world. It's just such a blessing, and I can only say thank you for being part of it and witnessing to it.
Yeah.
And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Rodney, please.
Yeah, ever since I was about 5 years old, I've been looking for God. And I guess somewhere in 78 or so, I read In Search of the Miraculous, and Alspensky lays out this great...
We've only got 5 minutes.
The work. He lays out the work. And at the time, I thought, well, this is what I've been searching for all my life. But he says that you can do this, but in order to do this, you have to have a school.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, damn, this is not going to happen. I was searching all over the place. This would never happen. So just like I think that you had a wish back then, I think all of us probably had the same wish, and it was just all drawing us to this place.
Yes, I think so, too.
And I'm so grateful. But one thing I wanted to really add, and I know we got a time thing, but about 7 or 8 years ago, my oldest daughter, Michelle, died. And Robin and I were members of the church, and I can't, I don't think I've ever been able to say this publicly, but I just so much appreciated the support that we got. This was up in New Orleans where she passed away, but I could feel the support and the love of the church the whole time we were up there, and I just really appreciate all the love that we got and that we still continue to get.
Beautiful. The one consciousness. Yes, go ahead. And you got to tell us your name.
Hi, my name is Pascal.
Oh, of course, Pascal. I didn't recognize you.
And yet, Tim, you baptized me when I was 3 or 4 years old.
But, well, you've done some growing, young fella.
You don't remember? Come on. At the Unity Church, and I had such a wonderful experience. Everything I remember about that church was positive. I've had so many interactions with people who have shared these experiences of being scarred by their church, and I can't relate. It was in 2013 that I started coming here, and it was on Father's Day of 2013 that we were I and my significant other were on our way here, and decided for some reason to go check on my dad, who we hadn't heard from in a while, and we found him dead in his apartment, and I hadn't come back here since. I don't know why. I didn't consciously turn my back on God or anything. And then I guess about a month ago, maybe more over a month ago, my mom and I started coming back here regularly, and something just this calls me to this place. My mind seeks knowledge and wisdom and independence and truth, and my spirit seeks compassion and community and dependence. And this place feeds both. So thank you.
Beautiful, Pascal. Thank you. Let's do K. Is that K? Did I get my eyes right? Oh, very good.
Hi. Oh, whoa. I just wanted to say that I'm incredibly blessed and so grateful to have grown up in a place like this. Like, I always hear about my friends, they're like, oh, I'm not religious, I don't have any God in my life, but again, like you said, can't relate. I'm so grateful for everything that's been given to me from this church, from Lama, to these great friends, whom I love with all my heart. And yeah, I love you, Tim. We're really going to miss your speakings. Yeah. Thank you.
Again, I've known you since you were a little kid, and I like it better all the time. Today's scripture in the liturgy is from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and it's the elemental basis for the whole edifice of the Christian religion. One of the scribes comes to Jesus, and they're always attempting to trip him up, to make him look bad, to make him embarrassed in front of the people who are becoming more and more enamored of this man's presence and less of the Pharisaical code. What is the greatest of the laws, teacher? And without missing a beat, Jesus said, the greatest of these of all the laws is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. In these are built the whole law and prophets. Everything that had been building since the time that Abraham encountered Melchizedek up through all the prophets and John the Baptist and Jesus, it was all built on this single understanding. The law was meant to serve this. You will love God and you will love everybody. The nature of reality is love. What holds particles together? What holds elements together? What brings people together and holds them together is love. Love is the basis of reality. And all the rules we hear, or all the Old Testament, what do they call them? The 10 best ways. That's what we teach in YES program. The 10 best ways. It's not like the commandments make a lot of resistance, but the 10 best ways. Isn't that beautiful? The 10 best ways are about harmony, about relationship with the source of our heartbeat and our breath and the light in our minds and the other manifestations of the divine that we see around us and other people. Accustomed as we are to viewing habits and dress and ways of thinking, speaking, accustomed as we are to judging by appearances, the ultimate is love. You will love your neighbor as yourself. And this law is like unto the first law. Yeah, you'll love God, but this God is not an abstract God. This is not a God of the ethers. This is an incarnate God, a God of flesh and bone, a God of human experience. And there's your neighbor being Christ in a distressing disguise. What will I do? How will I meet my neighbor today? Now, just in case love is too abstract a term, Paul has explicated it for us beautifully in 1 Corinthians 13, which at a time when I was not being a very loving man, wanted to be, wasn't showing up very well in my marriage, I typed out 1 Corinthians 13 and carried it in my pocket. And several times a day, I'd reference it. Love is very patient and, well, already fell off the bicycle, Lord. Well, let's just get back on. And kind, never jealous or envious or boastful or proud. Doesn't puff itself up, doesn't take delight in the misdoings of others. Bears all things, endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things, and here's the bottom line. Remember he said the law and the prophets are all based on this? Love never fails. Love never fails. Getting my way, attempting to, fails. Being powerful or well thought of, that may last for a moment or two. But love never fails. Love feels a lot like self-abandonment, letting go completely, and letting the Creator himself manifest through others and through the world whatever it is he desires. But the opportunity for each of us is to find that up on which the law and the prophets rests and abandon ourselves to that. And it's love. Love is reality. Love is the very nature of material existence. Love is the bottom line for all of it. Little babies come into this world, they're nothing but shiny love. And I know there may be exceptions, but for the most part, radiance. Here comes radiance. Look at this. The baby Jesus all over again. Then along the way, the cultural mask imposes itself. And we get our center of gravity outside ourselves in something we don't like or something we gotta have and don't yet seem to have. And we forget that the life that was radiantly alive within us as babies is still there. And it's in that return to innocence through our daily practice, through the practice of letting go and letting go and letting go, of doing self-observation. See, when I was comparing my behavior to 1 Corinthians 13, it was only through self-observation, of looking at the content of the mind, not the external manifestation, because that followed the mind. And the leverage is such that if you can get at the mind and make your changes there, and make your changes in consciousness, the outer world will manifest in accordance. It's a very faithful mirror of whatever we project into it. And so the whole law and the prophets is based on loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and your neighbor as yourself. And that's reality. And reality is with us every second of every day. And it presents us with a new opportunity in the little etch-a-sketch of life to erase what just was and take another choice. Take another breath. Take another remembrance that the cosmos itself has become man. And we've been invited to know it. Amen. Let's stand and sing like we meant it.
But your years The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you.
And now it's time for centering prayer and community. To prepare ourselves, we just become aware that the chairs we're sitting on are supporting our body weight. In that awareness, we accept that support and let go. Deeply relax. Open. Still within and without. Alert. We allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we listen with the ear of the heart. Abba, you that are creating us, giving us our very lives, our breath, nanosecond by nanosecond. You that are the creator of the heavens and the depths of the earth, the star-making regions, the farthest that the mind can possibly see. You know every hair on our heads. You who know when a sparrow falls. We've been told that we're worth more than many sparrows. You have called us. You have chosen us. We are grateful. We know that when we turn to you, that a process starts to happen, that the God seeds in us begin to grow, and that we begin to grow into the new man, the new woman, into the rose of Christ. You already see us as that full-blown rose while we are still seeds or stems. Help us in faith to see ourselves as you do while we go through the process with its turns and twists, going ever too slowly, but faithfully on. Help us to see ourselves and others as you see them. In faith, it is done. In peace, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us. And we share them in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of creation. With our tithes and offerings resting easily in our hands, we bless Him with their knowledge of reality. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. Thank you. Awake now to outpourings of grace. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of the moments of each of our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. I love reaffirming my understanding of the Eucharist through pondering, hearing, believing, understanding Thomas Keating's words. In the Eucharist, we are not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under the symbols of bread and wine, but we believe that we are joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is the celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation insofar as we're living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather, instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into his divine person and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in him. Join in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
Father,
the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the image of Jesus your Son, of Jesus your Son.
We are the clay.
living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you for blooming the rose of your Christ in our hearts. Amen.